Welcome, and thank you for standing by. All participants will be on a listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's call. At that time, you may press star 1 to ask a question from the phone lines. I would also like to inform all parties that the call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may just disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to your host, Dr. Ken Calvert. Thank you, sir. You may begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this webinar on the joint NSF-Intel solicitation on information-centric networking and wireless edge networks. My name is Ken Calvert, and I'm Division Director for the Computer Networks and Systems, or CNS, Division in the SISE Directorate here at NSF. I want to go over a few housekeeping items before we get started. The webinar will be up to about 90 minutes long, depending on how many questions there are. We'll have a presentation of about 45 minutes, and then the remainder of the time will be dedicated to the question and answer session from the participants. So please save your questions until the end of the presentation. We have representatives from both NSF and Intel participating in the call today, and both will be available to answer questions. Q&A session will be guided by the moderator, so please follow the instructions from the moderator for the Q&A session. We have a pretty large number of participants today, so there may be a delay before you get an opportunity to ask a question if there's a large number of questions. A summary list of the questions and answers will be published in a FAQ within the next 3 weeks on the program website, which is noted on this slide. So let me introduce, at NSF I have with me Thyaga Nandagopal and Darlene Fisher, who are program directors in SISE CNS. And on the phone we have David Ott, who's research director at Intel Labs, and Jeff Forster, who is a principal engineer with Intel Labs. Now as far as the agenda, first we'll provide some context from both NSF and Intel. We'll then go over the challenge that we seek to address in this solicitation. After that, we'll address the scope, requirements, and review process for this joint solicitation. And then in the Q&A session, we'll wrap things up. Excuse me. As a bit of background, so the Internet Protocol Architecture, TCP/IP, has been amazingly successful and has changed our world. But the protocols we use today were designed more than three decades ago, and they've been showing their age for some time now. I think one of the biggest challenges in networking today is how to move toward a network architecture that's better suited to today's world while continuing to rely on the existing Internet. And I've heard that challenge compared to changing the tires on a moving car. Obviously, folks have been thinking about this problem for some time. NSF first started to rethink Internet architecture requirements about 10 years ago with the Future Internet Design, or FIND, program. That program led to a much bigger clean slate challenge in the form of the Future Internet Architecture, FIA, program. From the projects funded through FIA, NSF further funded three candidate architectures to develop practical use cases with shareable, open-source implementations. These projects are now nearing completion. The links to each of these programs can be found at www.nets-fia.net. Through this new program, NSF and Intel are challenging the research community to investigate the application of information-centric architectures, such as those developed through FIA and elsewhere, in certain constrained circumstances, and specifically in high-performance, low-latency wireless edge networks. The idea is to explore the value of this new network paradigm, which focuses on content objects as the primary service abstraction rather than hosts or channels, for achieving scale and performance that would be very difficult to obtain with legacy protocols, even in an isolated region. Today, Intel plays a key role in delivering and consuming content everywhere, and we greatly value them as a vital partner in this effort. We are very thankful to be able to partner with them, and we appreciate their willingness to work with NSF. So on that note, I'd like to hand it off to David Ott, who's going to provide Intel's perspective on this partnership.
Okay, thank you, Ken. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
So Intel is pleased, the next slide, please. Intel is pleased to collaborate with the NSF in co-sponsoring university research in areas of strong mutual interest. This is the third program of its kind. The first two programs were announced in 2014, the NSF-Intel Partnership on Cyber-Physical Systems Security and Privacy, or CPS Security, and the NSF-Intel Partnership on Visual and Experiential Computing, or VEC, VEC. Intel appreciates the important role of university research in exploring new technologies and solutions to forward-looking technical challenges. Key findings are of interest to Intel and the broader industry ecosystem as we work together to understand future technology directions and the boundaries of what is possible. University research can be particularly important in understanding new technology requirements, in exploring the fundamental trade-offs in complex system design, and in developing brand new approaches that can be built upon by the industry, including companies like Intel. Intel views this particular NSF collaboration as a way to augment a number of other Intel-funded university research programs in 5G, software-defined networks, and other related areas. Next slide. So what drove NSF and Intel to issue this solicitation? We are interested in developing next-generation wireless networks, building upon and extending 5G to offer peak bit rates of tens of gigabits per second at the radio layer, and latencies of less than a millisecond across the wireless edge. Our goal is to enable autonomous vehicles, industrial robotics, tactile internet applications, virtual and augmented reality, and dense Internet of Things, or IoT, deployments. These cutting-edge applications require fast information response time that is invariant as a function of the bandwidth demanded, users and devices supported, and data generated. While low latency wireless communication will be a feature of emerging 5G radio networks, it is only one component of the total information response time requirements, which also considers the availability, placement, and real-time management of data. At the same time, to ensure widespread adoption, these applications need to support intrinsic security, seamless mobility and discovery of devices and content, as well as scalable content distribution. Information-centric networks promise efficient content delivery, mobility, scalability, and security for content identification and distribution. At the same time, future 5G networks will promise data rates of multi-gigabits per second and low latencies, while scaling up significantly the number of devices that can be supported. Emerging applications such as tactile internet and IoT need all, or at least a sizable subset, of these features. Another notable feature of these forward-looking applications is that in order to reduce latency and bandwidth requirements, content will need to be either localized or pushed to the edge of the network. While legacy deployments make clean slate global network architectures challenging, edge wireless networks provide an opportunity to deploy clean slate approaches as self-contained information islands. The question that we wish to explore then is, can we make ICN work in the wireless edge? To summarize, what we are looking for in this solicitation are innovative approaches that apply ICN principles to wireless networks in order to meet the performance and security demands of future applications. At this point, let me turn it over to my colleague, Jeff Forster, who will describe the research challenges to be addressed in this solicitation.
Okay, thanks, David. So this solicitation seeks to augment existing efforts on 5G wireless research to create an information plane that addresses discovery, movement, and management of data features, for example, which are also critical towards enabling fast information response time and scalability required for beyond 5G applications. Therefore, we are challenging the community to come up with a co-design of ICN and wireless networks as ICN approaches the promise to deliver the information plain features currently not addressed by existing 5G wireless research. In particular, we are looking for how ICN could be integrated and co-optimized with a wireless network and address fundamental challenges involving discovery, movement, transport, reliability, and management of data, naming, caching, and storage of content and distributed processing, protection of information within a network involving privacy and security, device power consumption and device and network heterogeneity, recognizing that 5G networks will support numerous wireless technologies and types of devices, and finally, network latency and large-scale scalability. For this kind of research to be impactful, it'll be important to demonstrate and quantify the benefits of this new architecture via simulations, emulations, and testbeds. And then finally, help transition the ideas into practice by evaluating realistic deployment scenarios and understanding practical implementation approaches. So the goal of this program is to enable future beyond 5G applications with specific focus on two main applications. First focus is on low latency applications, including the tactile internet, autonomous driving, industrial robotic control, and augmented and virtual reality applications. The second focus is on massive IoT deployments, including smart buildings, smart cities, agricultural, and environmental monitoring applications. We believe these two main applications really stress the ICN and wireless network design in terms of latency, performance, and scalability to help determine the potential value of ICN and it brings to wireless networks. We narrowed the scope of the program to only focus on deployment of ICN at the edge of the network, to help constrain the scope and geographical boundaries to be addressed, as well as removing any requirements for backwards compatibility with existing internet architectures and protocols. However, it's still important to take into account realistic wireless network models to ensure the ICN principles can work in a realistic deployment, which would include mobility, highly varying error rates and throughputs, potential for lost links, and battery-constrained devices. Towards these goals, we've identified three main research dimensions which must be addressed. First, research should be focused on wireless device endpoints, which deals with, for example, the integration of ICN with the wireless stack, device power efficiency, mobility, device management and handovers, and device heterogeneity. Second, research should look into the wireless network infrastructure and architecture, including, for example, joint optimization of the ICN and wireless architecture, end-to-end latency optimization, programmability, distributed computation and storage, network management, and reliability. Third, research should include a focus on information security and data privacy, including, for example, ICN information plane security, device and data security, security configuration and management, and attack detection. Finally, to test the effectiveness of a given approach to ICN and wireless networks, it will be important to have an element of prototyping and demonstration of at least one of the beyond 5G applications discussed, either highlighting the ultra-low latency capability or the massive IoT deployment scenario. Proposals that successfully do both may have competitive advantage. As is normal practice, this would be done through a combination of simulations, emulation environments, and real-world test infrastructure as available. Now, I'll hand it back over to Teaga to go over some details of the solicitation.
Okay, all right, so here are some key points to remember, everyone. So first of all, the program solicitation is NSF 16-586, so there's a hyperlink on this slide, and you can also find it easily in the web search. It's also posted on both the CISE website and the CNS webpage. Second, remember there is a two-stage application process for this proposal. Letters of intent are required, unlike traditional NSF proposals, and these are due before 5 p.m. local time on September 19th. The full proposal deadline, again, is on November 21st by 5 p.m. local time. Now, remember that proposals without an associated letter of intent will not be accepted. So, letter of intent has to be submitted first if you plan to submit the full proposal. NSF and Intel together expect to award approximately two projects, and each project may request up to $3 million over 3 years. And these awards are expected to be made in early spring 2017. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the solicitation, the requirements, the thoughts, our thoughts about the team composition, the critical proposal sections, and what we expect to see in each of these sections. We will then cover the review and award selection process, and then we'll end the webinar with a question and answer session. So who can submit? So this solicitation requires restricted submissions to U.S. academic institutions only. So these are U.S. universities and 2- and 4-year-old four-year colleges, including community colleges, and these can submit one or more proposals. And U.S. institution in this case is one that is accredited within the U.S. and has a campus within the U.S. that is acting on behalf of faculty members. Any sub-awardee institutions that you may want to include also have to follow the same restrictions. Okay. In terms of personal requirements, we want to emphasize that an individual can participate as a PI, co-PI, or senior personnel in no more than one proposal submitted in response to solicitation. So if by accident, if any individual is found to be on more than one proposal, the proposal with the earliest submission date will be accepted, and the other proposals will be returned without review. So please make sure that the individuals on your team have consented to participate on this project, and that they're not listed on any other proposal submitted for the solicitation. And remember, this includes senior personnel as well. Now, we are looking for manageable teams, right? So they're made up of individuals with demonstrable expertise that is required to conduct the research. The solicitation requires that the proposal justify clearly the inclusion of each team member and show how this person will contribute to the overall vision of the program and the specific goal for the project. Now, let's go with the letter of intent. Many of you may not be familiar with the two-stage application process that we require, that requires submission of an LOI, that is the letter of intent. The purpose of this LOI is to inform NSF about potential teams that will be applying to the program. Right? This helps us in planning the panels and identifying potential reviewers for the solicitation review process. For each project, only one LOI must be submitted. And if you happen to be working with a collaborative group of multiple institutions, only the lead institution should submit the LOI. The LOI cannot exceed 2 pages. It should contain 3 elements. The first one is a synopsis of the project. The Second is a clear description of how the proposed research will address the three dimensions that the solicitation seeks to target, which was covered just now. And the third element is a listing of all the team members, and of course with the collaborative proposal, you want to list all the members across the institutions, and also a brief synopsis of the relevant expertise that they have to help on this project. Now, please do note that you can change the team composition between the submission of the LOI and the full proposal. The only invariant, though, is that the identity of the institution submitting the LOI and the lead PI cannot change. Okay, so these have to be the same. Everything the other team members can change. Okay, in terms of the full proposal, here are the requirements. The title should start with the keyword ICN-WEN. Now, we are giving an additional 5 pages instead of the default 15 pages. The solicitation allows for 20 pages. Please use this wisely. The list of all the supplementary documents needed is noted here, and we are going to cover them one by one. Now, also note that NSF proposals, all of them, require you to submit a list of collaborators as a single copy document. As for collaborating institutions, the lead institution must do this. This helps us identify conflicts of interest. Therefore, for co-author conflicts, please only include those co-authors with a paper publication date within the last 4 years of the solicitation deadline. Please do not include all authors. Now, for the project description, remember there's 20 pages. So there are very specific topics that need to be addressed within this project description. Now, the purpose of listing these topics is to make sure that you clearly describe the proposed research and how it addresses the goals of the solicitation, how you plan to validate this work, and how the management of the project will be done, in addition to the educational activities and outreach that you and how you will be end up moving this research into practice beyond just publishing academic papers. So we want to see these projects have real-world impact, so the description should be able to convey this. More importantly, we want to see a clear statement about how the outcomes of this proposed work, focusing on information-centric networks in the wireless context, will support the application types that the solicitation is targeting while addressing the three dimensions of device endpoints, architecture, and security with data privacy. We expect that you will divide the proposed research into multiple topics or components. We want to make sure how these components will synergistically work together to advance the goals of the solicitation. We also expect to see a validation plan that includes a combination of simulation, development and prototype systems, and experimentation using these prototypes. The solicitation also calls for a Gantt chart, and this has to be included in the project description. The Gantt chart should lay out the major tasks, milestones, and interdependencies among the tasks. Please note that there's a management plan that's required as a supplementary document. We'll discuss it later in the webinar, but we do mention it now because you should consider including the Gantt chart in a way to indicate which team member or members are responsible for each task. Okay. Now, we want to cover a little bit about the broader impact on the education aspects. This is something that's of key value to NSF and also to Intel. In your proposal, you should show how your work will advance the field and indicate your plans to integrate this research into education. This should be an actionable section in the sense that it should not just include past achievements or vague statements, but include clear-cut plans and also budget adequate resources for carrying out these plans. We want to note that you can request REU, Research Experience for Undergraduate Supplements, funds for in the budget for up to $16,000 per year in the first year to support up to 2 U.S. citizen undergraduate students for each institution involved in the project. And these funds do not count against the $3 million budget limit. If your project involves more than one institution, then you should provide a rationale for including them and ensure how and describe how you will ensure effective collaboration. You should not think that once the project is awarded, that each team member is entitled to do whatever research that you will be doing. These are meant to be projects in which team members actively collaborate to build a working system. Okay? So now, when it comes to collaboration plan, we expect every proposal that has more than one PI, which would be the case in this instance, should have a collaboration plan. Right, and this collaboration plan should include a description of the roles of all the participants, how the project is going to be managed across the investigators, institutions, and the disciplines, and the coordination mechanisms that are going to be used for this. The budget should include appropriate support for the collaboration and project management activities. Now, if you are requesting funding for a postdoc as part of this project, then a postdoc mentoring plan is required, and this has to be uploaded as a separate document. The CRA, the Computing Research Association, has a resource page. This is there's a hyperlink to it on the slide. The best mentoring practices are available on this resource page for you to consider when you formulate the plan. NSF also requires a data management plan for all projects. There is a site-specific guidance. This is the Computer Science Directorate. So we have a specific guidance on what should be there in a data management plan, what points to be considered. And you should describe carefully how you plan to share and disseminate the data and the research results and adhere to NSF policy concerning intellectual property. The solicitation specifically requires that the software offered be software developed on this project should be offered as open source under certain types of licenses that are equivalent to BSD and Apache and so on, so the solicitation has more information on it. In addition, the plan should talk about supporting a website, current and up-to-date information on the project progress. All of this should be in the data management plan. Now, in terms of any additional supplementary documents, you can include letters of collaboration from other partners pledging, for example, access to data or access to resources or facilities, and these letters of collaboration have to follow a very specific format noted in the NSF grant proposal guide. Please make sure you take a look at that. You may not include letters of general support for the project or its expected outcomes. Proposals with such general letters of support may be returned without review, so please be aware of that. No other supplementary documentation is required. Now, in terms of personnel other than the investigators, we do expect to see support for graduate students. You can also request support for software engineers and other necessary technical personnel as well as for postdocs, as long as every request is justified appropriately. So now we come to the review process. The review process for proposals received is as follows, right? So this is a joint solicitation between Intel and NSF, so it will be reviewed independently by Intel and NSF. Intel will conduct its own internal review of the proposals. In NSF, proposals will be reviewed by a merit review panel. The program director may request additional ad hoc reviews as appropriate. The proposals will be reviewed according to the standard intellectual merit and broader impact criteria. And in addition, we will ask the reviewers to consider solicitation-specific review criteria that have been identified in the solicitation. NSF will conduct the panels. Intel team members will attend the panels as observers. And Intel and NSF will then meet to discuss the proposals and decide whether to have a reverse site visit for the top-rated projects, whereby individual teams will be called upon to answer concerns raised by the reviewers, the NSF program directors, or the Intel partners. After this, NSF and Intel will jointly make all the funding decisions that will be final. So we mentioned the solicitation-specific review criteria. Here they are. So these will include the extent to which the projects will innovate along the three dimensions that we identified, the potential for non-incremental advances in this field, and how relevant the proposed research is in terms of targeting the application types that we desire in the solicitation. We do not want to see individual research topics stapled together, but we want to see a cohesive whole that is more than the sum of its parts. The other review criteria will be the effectiveness of the proposed collaboration as well as the cost effectiveness of the proposed solutions. Right, so these are the criteria that will be asked for the reviewers to judge the proposals. Okay, so in terms of the funding model, once we decide on a project that are to be funded, these will be jointly funded by NSF and Intel through separate funding instruments. NSF will make grants, either continuing or standard grants. And Intel will make Intel agreements with the institutions. Now, the projects may receive supplements from either NSF or Intel, depending on the willingness of either of these entities to support such supplements. Now, after the projects have been awarded, NSF and Intel will work together to jointly manage these projects while following each party's guidelines and regulations. Each of NSF and Intel will designate a program director for the award, and these program directors will jointly manage the project. We expect that there will be annual on-site reviews conducted jointly by NSF and Intel. we envision an annual PI meeting for the awardees under the solicitation. So each project should budget appropriate travel funds to permit team members to travel to these PI meetings. And at these PI meetings, we expect the annual on-site reviews might be conducted. So Intel may choose to be an active participant in the projects. And for example, the Intel program director may become a member of the Intel NSF partnership project management team, and Intel may also invite academic faculty and students to visit Intel, and Intel may visit research institutions upon request. Please be aware of that. Now, we just want to wrap up by saying that the ICN Lens solicitation aligns nicely with the national priorities as designated by the White House by supporting high-risk, potentially high-payoff research and education. We hope that these projects under this solicitation will transform how we think about and design secure, complex engineered systems, specifically by creating trustworthy internets that can meet the information needs of the 21st century. Another reminder of the deadlines, the letters of intent are due by September 19th, and the full proposals are due by November 21st. We hope that this four-month period gives you enough time to prepare a full proposal that can, by putting together a high-powered team and also a well-crafted research agenda that can unleash the power of wireless-enabled information-centric. We will now open up the floor for questions. We will compile these questions and answers into a frequently asked questions list, FAQ, and post it on the webpage for this program within the next 4 weeks. Please note that the questions that we are answering today are actually informal. They only serve to clarify. The solicitation is the official. The formal FAQs that will be posted on the program site will also be an advisory document and will not be a binding solution. The solicitation is the final word. Now, one question that may be on, so we have a few FAQs that we have received from folks, so we'll just go over them first, and then we can throw the floor open for more questions beyond this. So one of the questions is letter of intent, is it going to serve as a screening tool, or is there going to be any kind of feedback from NSF or Intel? So we want to make sure to clarify this. The LOI serves to inform NSF and Intel on what projects are being devised, right? And with understanding that not all of these LOIs may materialize into full proposals, Intel and NSF can optionally choose to respond to any of the specific teams with queries on the contents of the LOI. But we want to emphasize again that PI should not expect any response from NSF. It's not required. An official acknowledgement of the receipt of the LOI will be sent out by October 3rd. Okay? There's also some questions about the internal review criteria for Intel. I want to highlight that we have accepted this from the solicitation. It's already there in the solicitation for your reference. There's also a question about potential collaborations with researchers in foreign countries. So NSF has multiple countries with which we have agreements that encourage joint proposals between researchers in the U.S. and other countries. Such proposals are to be submitted to the respective funding agencies of each country. We can address country-specific collaborations offline via email on a case-by-case basis, so please do contact us, the program officers involved. Please do be aware that no funds from NSF can be allocated to international participants. Okay, so at this time, I wanted to throw the floor open for questions, and the moderator will give us instructions on how to proceed with the case.
Thank you. At this time, we would like to begin the question and answer session of today's call. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1, unmute your phone, and record your name when prompted. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. One moment, please, for the first question. Our first question comes from Karen Solins. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Thank you all for this information. My question is about your definition or the program's definition of ICN, information-centric networking, because there are in the community both broad and fairly narrow definitions, and I'm wondering where you guys stand on that in that space in some sense.
David, do you want to take a shot at it, like Intel team to respond? David or Jeff?
Yeah, sure. I'll take a crack at it. I mean, we're trying to create a fairly broad interpretation of ICN, so the intention is not to point to any particular implementations that we know that are out there, but rather kind of the broad definition.
Yeah, so it's actually broader than implementation. It's actually architecture.
Yeah.
Are you interested in fairly broad definitions of the ICN architecture?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I think that's clearly part of the dimension two that we talked about.
Great. Good. Thanks.
Our next question comes from Suman Banerjee. Your line is now open.
Thank you. So maybe I did not clearly understand aspect of the review process, but I was hoping you could explain how the internal review process in Intel will actually happen. Is there any information and criteria that you could share with us? That will be really helpful.
So here's a slide that talks about the internal review process for Intel. So again, as we said, Intel has its own specific internal review criteria, and clearly they have identified what are they going to be looking for, right? And they are also going to be present at the NSF review panel. So I'm going to ask the Intel folks to see if they want to add anything more specific beyond what's already listed here.
No, I think that's right. I think it's a matter of we'll be evaluating it just like the NSF in terms of how it responds to the challenges that are discussed within the solicitation, and we'll work closely with the NSF on a final decision.
And maybe we can also mention that we'll have our own program committee internally that's associated with it, and it'll be discussed broadly, you know, amongst the whole committee.
I can say you are probably going to follow sort of the intellectual merit and broader impact criteria that NSF usually has. Is it sort of fair to say that?
Yes, I think that's correct.
So again, I mean, the specific criteria that's listed in the solicitation clearly states that they are going to, Intel is going to look for alignment with Intel's overall long-term strategic plans in this space as well. So NSF doesn't have a specific agenda to pursue in the ICN space, but Intel has, right? So that's something that you have to be aware of. In addition to the intellectual merit and broader impact criteria, Intel has pointed out that they will be looking at that, the alignment as well.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question from the phone lines, please press star 1 and record your name when prompted. Right now, we are showing no other questions in queue.
Okay. So, again, as we mentioned, we are available to answer your questions at any time. Please do contact the NSF program team with questions, and we will ensure that we will include our Intel partners as well in the response. It just makes it easier for us to coordinate our responses, so feel free to reach out to us at any given time. And if there are no more questions, then I think we are done with the call.
Thank you. That concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time. Speakers, please hold for a post-conference.